Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
¿Qué tal, mi gente? Te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número ITIN y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Boy, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox, and I was laughing right
now. Sorry.
Oh, thanks a lot, fault. Carl. You reminded me of the Smokey Robinson cameo. So he was cameo. I don't know if those sites are as popular as they used to be, but you would pay celebrities to like give you a personalized message, and the prices would vary. $20 to $100, I don't know, something like that, depending on how popular the person was, how much you really wanted it. It's Smokey Robinson, this video. Carl, what did he say?
Motown legend, Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. What did he say again? He was reading
I can't
it.
Pronounce this word here, but Happy Chinooka.
Happy Chinooka. It's an Hanukkah. Happy Chinooka. And you made me... spit up my drink this morning. I forgot about that because you said that it's late this year and Hanukkah.
Hanukkah starts tomorrow.
How about that? We have Christmas tomorrow as well. Merry Christmas to you as well. How about we go to the shortlist?
Oh no, I think I found it.
Oh, let's hear it. No, before the shortlist, let's hear this if you have it. Smokey Robinson.
Happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but Happy Chinooka. Because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
You said it four times. Oh, that's my worst nightmare, reading a news story, and there's a word I don't know how to pronounce, but I know the word, and I don't think I've seen it printed before, and then you end up saying it four times wrong in the same story. Happy Chinooka. Oh, Smokey. Oh, man.
Motown legend, Smokey Robinson from the Miracles.
Oh, it's an honest mistake. I get that. There was no ill intent in that, obviously, but those things happen. All right, now let's do the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Oh, sorry. I had the cameo pulled up. Let's try now.
Happy Chinooka.
You had other members of the media manning the ramparts, attacking their fellow reporters, saying that they were outraged, they would even dare raise such questions.
How dare you question Joe Biden, Saint Biden? Look at him commuting all these sentences, saving lives out there single-handedly. Joe Biden, Saint.
Donald Trump is humanly incapable of shame, and every Republican has learned from Trump. And what they've learned, Eamon, is never apologize.
All right, that is former Congressman Joe Walsh. We talked about that. Where did we talk about that? You can go back into the Odyssey app and rewind and listen to it. Was it last hour? Things go by so quick. I believe this was at about 7:20.
Mr. Mayor, come here. Come on, get up here. Sit in my lap.
Oh, no. Come on, get up here. Sit on my lap. That was Joe Biden. He doesn't sound so good, does he? Let's play the full clip later in the show. We'll do it this hour because it is the last hour. The Mark Cox Morning Show on Christmas Eve. We have Christmas tomorrow. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Oh, boy. He does not sound good, does he? I want to go back to what some of the critics are pointing out, the problem with this bystander mentality that we had in New York City. Very disturbing. What we saw on the subway where a woman was set on fire by an illegal immigrant, someone that was deported during Donald Trump's presidency, ended up coming back at some unknown time. But we do know that on the taxpayer dime, they were not only housing, but taking care of this illegal immigrant, only for this person to set an innocent woman on fire and then basically sit in the bench outside, not basically, literally sit on the wooden benches outside and watch as this person burns. Now, I don't want to get too graphic. So there are videos online that don't have the censorship on them. I saw one of them populate on Twitter. And if you want to know, think of the cover from Pink Floyd. Was it Wish You Were Here cover, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. It was basically that. Standing in the middle of the subway and holding on to one of the metal bars and just frozen in time. It was just frozen. Physically, I don't know what your body's going through at a time like that. I don't know if she was still alive at that point, but she wasn't moving. And it was almost like she was locked in place. Everything was just frozen. And he's just on the bench watching it. And people are taking videos. They have their smartphones out and they're commentating. They're doing commentary like it's some sort of live feed. They're playing a video game or something. New York Post covered this, and rightfully so, made it one of their top stories. And here's one of the headlines. Critics blast bystanders who stood by while illegal immigrant allegedly burned woman to death on NYC subway. They called it the Daniel Penny effect. Daniel Penny referring to the person on the subway that stopped a person that was a vagrant, homeless guy, Jordan Neely. He was going up and down the subway and saying, I'm going to kill someone. I'm going to kill someone. So Daniel Penny and three people detained this guy because he realized this guy's a threat. He's going to hurt someone. We're going to stop him. Daniel Penny being an ex-Marine and these two other people were holding him down, and Jordan Neely dies. And because of it, Daniel Penny was charged, was found not guilty. So that was recent news, the Daniel Penny stuff. But what's the effect of something like that? Is the effect that when there is someone that is in need, even to the point of them being murdered, that the threat is if they were to step in and stop a person from acting the way they do to murder someone, that you would become a national example and be called racist for doing so? Because this person being an illegal immigrant may have a different skin tone than you. So it would be improper for you to step in. In fact, it'll be looked at that way, and you'll be looked at as a villain by, I don't know, 25% of the American public who want to think you're racist for it. Or maybe it's just the loud minority that are online that want to use social media that way to try to pretend that, hey, you did it because there was some sort of racial motivation, not because, oh, I don't know, you're trying to save other people's lives. So is that the reason why, or is it just that we're now bystanders in general? We just can't find ourselves to put ourselves in danger in order to stop danger from happening. I think it's a different story if it's your kids involved, if your family's with you, if you're a man, and let's say you're on the subway and someone threatens a family member, then absolutely you're going to step in. If you don't know the person, maybe it's going to be a little less of a chance to do it. Hey, it's not my problem kind of thought, or, you know, I don't want to get involved in this. But maybe it is top of mind for some people. Maybe it is top of mind. The idea that I don't want my face to be on the national news. That's a shame. That's a shame. There's been other stories about this. No one helping. Why didn't anyone help? I find that, and this is what people say. They say this all the time. You don't know what you would do until you're in that moment. There is no way for you to determine if you would have stepped in, if you would have helped, if you would have been able to pull that trigger to prevent a loved one from getting hurt. And, you know, I think about myself. I think about what I would do in a situation like that. And it does take a little bit of, you know, you have to be mentally prepared for moments like that. You do. This is my thought in general. One, I hope I'm never put in that situation. I hope I'm never tested, number one. Number two, it would be harder for me to live with the consequences of a family member, a loved one, my children getting hurt. It would be harder for me to live with those consequences than to face the consequences of stepping in and trying to stop it. That would be what you would have to weigh. And I don't know if you're thinking about that, but if you think about it ahead of time, then maybe you'd be better prepared to do the right thing when the right thing is presented to you. All right, when we come back, I do want to talk about Joe Biden commuting some of these federal death sentences. And I want to play some clips of the media really saying, oh, wow, look at him, the least racist person ever, Joe Biden commuting these sentences. It is really getting out of control. We're going to talk about that after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. If you want to find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. You can find me on Facebook at Ryan Recker, on Twitter X. You're listening to 97.1.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
FM Talk. I don't know if I've ever heard this song. I don't listen to Taylor Swift, so is this old or is this new?
It's 5 years old.
Okay. I ignore Taylor Swift.
Yes, but you can't ignore Christmas songs when you go into a store and they are on everywhere.
Oh, yeah, you can. You just shop online.
Wow.
It's easy. It's so easy when you shop online.
Support local businesses, especially people that advertise on this radio station.
Yeah, that's true. You can order from them online, too, most of them. You know, I wonder, you know how they have special... accommodations for people. I wonder if I call ahead and say, hey, can I get
hey,
no
can you make sure you're not playing Wham so I don't get Whamageddon?
If you could if you could just not play Taylor Swift for a half hour, that would be great. Thank you. So this is the big story that is kind of getting hidden. The Biden commutes most federal death sentences. And with 28 days left in office, Joe Biden commuting the sentences of 37 of the 40 people on federal death row, converting their punishments to life without possibility of parole. I would say that based on the way wacky laws and politicians work and the way these liberal courts work as well, that I would say life without the chance of parole is also in loose quotations, because I'm guessing that if given the opportunity, you would go back and try to find ways to release some of these people. So what you're finding is that three federal inmates still face execution, including Dylan Roof, the white supremacist who carried out the 2015 slaying of 9 black members at that church in Charleston, South Carolina. The Tsarnaev brother who helped carry out the Boston Marathon bombing, and Robert Bowers, who fatally shot 11 congregants in that Tree of Life synagogue in 2018, one of the deadliest anti-Semitic attacks. Between that, those are the three that were excluded. Everyone else is off the hook. I like what our one guest brought up, Connor Vasile. He said, if it was truly a moral decision, then you would find it in your heart, morally speaking, to exonerate everyone. You would actually put those three on there, but that is not the case. So you are still judging in some sense. Is it possible that you're doing that because there's some sort of other special interest that you're looking towards or something else that's going on behind the scenes? Representative Ayanna, is that how you say it? Ayanna Presley. So she was on MSNBC and was talking about the moral and compassionate leadership of Joe Biden. Let's play clip number one, if we could.
Again, the death penalty has not been proven to be a deterrent of crime. State-sanctioned murder is not justice. And today, what President Biden did demonstrated moral leadership, compassionate leadership, informed by his own faith and a position that he's held for a very long time. And again, when it comes to our peer nations, we are an anomaly in this inhumane and barbaric practice, which is fundamentally flawed.
State-sanctioned murder. By the way, they use that same phrasing when a police officer uses his firearm or her firearm. and on the job. They'll call it state-sanctioned murder, meaning that anyone that dies at the hand of a police officer, even if it's justified, is looked at as state-sanctioned murder. They use that as the same justification to say, you know what you signed up for as a police officer, you should be the one that dies, not the person that's out there causing harm to other people. That's the same terminology they use for that, just so you know. Andy McCarthy, and I believe Andy was another guest, and I forgot what network this was on, but either way, I think you'll get an idea of what he's talking about. Let's play clip two.
I want to take a look at some of the death row inmates whose sentences Biden actually commuted, because it's really disgusting. Thomas Sanders, he brutally kidnapped and murdered a 12-year-old girl, Lexis Roberts, in the fall of 2010. Apparently, Biden believes this man deserves to live. Meanwhile, the family of the 12-year-old girl has lost their daughter and now has to deal with justice not being served there. Jorge Avila Torres sexually assaulted and stabbed two girls, Laura Hobbs, just 8 years old, Crystal Tobias, age 9 at the time of her death, stabbed both these girls to death in 2005. He also strangled a naval officer, Amanda Snell, age 20, 4 years later. He now gets to live. Anthony Battle, another one among those sentences that were commuted, brutally murdered an Atlanta prison guard with a hammer in 1994. Now, this is an example of Joe Biden, who basically states that unless you've been charged with terrorism charges, then you're allowed to live. I mean, that's kind of how he looks at this. This is terrorism. You're killing minors. If that's not terrorism, I don't know what is.
So the guest that was on with, and that was Fox News, the guest that was on was Andy McCarthy. I didn't include any Andy as part of the clip, so I can't remember what the news anchor's name was, but that was on Fox News. But essentially going through some of the different cases that Joe Biden decided to commute. I want to go back, and I think that Andy Vasile brought up maybe the best point in all of this. If it was something that was a moral decision by Joe Biden, then it would mean that all the other death row inmates that were not commuted should have been. But if it's leaving them off the table, then it's not necessarily a moral thing, then would it be? Because otherwise, you wouldn't be picking and choosing. So you hear about all these other instances, and I understand that. Yeah, there's a reason if you're on the federal list to be facing execution, you did some pretty extremely heinous crimes. And it was determined through a court of law that you not only qualified, but were deserving of the most harshest penalty for it. I think we got one more clip in this, clip number four. Do we have time for that, Carl? I don't know if we do. We are coming too close to the break, and I want to make sure we leave.
You think about those who are on death row. Over 55% of those individuals are people of color, African-Americans and Latinos and others. In fact, for every 8 people who are killed, one person later is found to be exonerated. So we are encouraging the president to continue on this moral path to ensure that the disparities that we see in the system that has been proven is addressed through the clemency process. There are individuals that should be pardoned. They are productive citizens.
Productive citizens on the facing death row. NAACP President Derek Johnson there. Productive citizens. That's what you're up against. If you don't do it, then you're racist. That's the kind of commentary you're faced with in America today. It's a shame. All right, you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker. Filling in, 97.1 FM Talk.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three friends.
What a great song, Carl. Good work on this.
John Denver and the Muppets.
What a perfect song, too, for our guest. He's a CPA and a money manager. Bill Dendy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Man, it's so good to be with you. And, you know, then that song, what do you got, 12 partridges and 12 pear trees? I mean, that's a lot of partridges.
A lot of birds.
Yeah, that is a lot. Partridges. You know, a lot of these things, I don't even know what they are. I don't think I've physically seen one in my entire life. What happens, by the way? So you're a money manager. Have you ever had anyone come to you and say, Bill, I'm thinking about buying everything in the song for my loved ones, and how would you advise them after that?
No, I have not heard that, but I did have a person want to get
matching Lamborghinis for him and his girlfriend. And I thought, you know, you could get the whole song twice over for, you know, what he was getting ready to spend on his matching vehicles. So, right. You know, I guess we do different things at different times for our true loves. But it can get awful expensive. Every year, PNC Bank goes out and their fancy economists take pencil to paper to figure out what would it really cost to get these more, I don't know, traditional or old-timey, esoteric items in today's dollars. And they're saying inflation's been with us for the last 20-something years. They've done this study that it costs more every year to buy the same stuff. Well, I know we could have told them that, but they did it with actual, you know, partridges and pear trees and all.
I'm surprised they haven't modernized this to add vaping and things like that that people now buy.
You know, I bet if we wrote that into a song, it would be popular in no time. You just start listening to the things that you would get based upon, you know, certain social strata of what would be really great, you know, but I don't know.
Partridges in a pear tree. We don't really put fruit trees in our new builds when we build homes anymore. So people aren't out there buying these things like they used to. So I'm guessing the prices could be just the rarity of the item. So by the way, the 12 days of Christmas, what is the cost of that if you were to add it all up? Do you know?
Well, according to PNC, and different groups have different numbers, but they say it's about $49,263. $49,000 to get all 12 days. Now, if you do it like the song, where you're repeating that partridge in a pear tree like 12 times over, and the two turtle doves 11 times over, fortunately, the cheap stuff comes first. So, you know, if you do it over and over again, the cost is only $209,000.
Oh,
and that still doesn't get you a whole Lamborghini.
Huh. What do you think the return policy is on some of these items?
You can't really milking. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
no, the Lord's a leaping.
The Lord's leaping. Believe it or not, that's the most expensive item on the list. If you want to get 10 Lords to leap in today's dollars, that's going to cost you $15,500.
Why?
And, I mean, I don't know if that's one leap or an hour's worth of leaping, but that's a big number for 10 Lords when you consider you can get 8 maids of milking for $58.
That seems like a much more reasonable price, but I feel like you can go online and get a certificate from some random website to make you a quote-unquote Lord from, like, some random country or whatever. And from there on, then you'd be able to, at least this time of year, rent out your services for $15,000. I would be inclined to think that is a great money-making opportunity.
Well, you need 9 buddies to do it with because, you know, it's 10 Lords of leaping. Yeah. You'd only be right. 1/10 of the package. But, yes, I think you're brilliant on that. But, you know, I think it's interesting, musicians. The musicians have gone up like 15% year over year. So the drummers drumming and the pipers piping, both of those are up over 15% from where they were last year.
Wow.
The musicians' unions, they're doing the right thing or something. I don't know.
They're still living on the couch. All right, Carl. I mean, you run into these things. How about you and I? We'll get certified online, and we're going to have to just start a business for this time of year. We'll start leaping, and we'll play a piper, I guess. I don't know how,
sure.
But figure it out.
You don't have to be a good piper. Doesn't say anything about that.
They'll take anyone they can get at this point. So, Bill, I got to tell you, this is a lot of stuff to try to organize, and I would say that it's the end of the year. Are any of these items tax deductible?
Well, it depends if this is a business expense. I mean, if your true love is no, I'm sorry. I should not give tax advice on the air because, you know, somebody's probably going to call up and say, I heard that I could do this with my girlfriend if she was a business partner. But I tell you, it does remind us, though, that things cost more than they did in previous years. And this is usually the end of the year time that people start doing things that they end up regretting come January, February, because they do a little bit more than they may have should have. People are feeling good about the holidays. They're feeling good about life in general, and they spend more than they intended to. And it's just good advice to have a great time, enjoy the holidays, but no, it's not all about Lord's leaping. You can have a good time with just a partridge. You don't have to go all out. a milking maid, maybe what do you really need 8 of them? Depends on how many cows you got, maybe. But it's a thing that's not all about the money. And the five you golden rings, have, those are classics.
You can never go wrong with Justin Partridge. That's a great quote. I don't know if anyone's ever said that before. So, by the way, Bill, if people wanted to find you online, where can they go?
Alicorninvestmentmanagement.com. Alicorn, that's the unicorn that flies. It's a pegacorn, the Alicorn Investment Management.
I like that you didn't want to give tax advice on air because you're afraid someone might actually take it seriously. So you live in a highly regulated industry.
You know it. And it truly is. And it gets more regulated every year. And every time they come up with a new thing they call like the Taxpayer Relief Act, I think it's more the Attorney and CPA Job Security Act, because things have not gotten easier. They've gotten more complex, and they change a law. They sunset things. They bring them back. We don't know where it's going to go. You have to spend so many hours a year just in continuing education. And here at the end of the year, when I should be enjoying my Christmas spirit, I'm having to do more continuing education. Bomba.
All right. I know. Well, so just in general, can I ask you some tax questions? Because we're up against the end of the year, and I'm just curious, would that be okay, generally speaking?
Yes, and there are things right. You should be doing here at the end of the year that by the 31st, it's too late to do them. But fire away.
Okay, so when I go to file for my 2024 tax year, are taxes generally the same the way they were in 23, or am I going to be paying more, you think?
A lot of people paid more in 23 than they did in 22 because we had the COVID relief going away. So we probably won't see a big difference from 23 to 24. We have some differences, but it's going to be very similar from one year to the next. And as we approach the end of the year, this is when people start saying, hey, if I'm going to do that itemized deduction, well, now I'm going to get the charitable amounts. I should do the charitable deductions. I should go ahead and do the thing to the charity. And some people bulk up their charity by giving more than one year's worth of charitable giving so they can get a big deduction in one year, and they'll use things like donor advised funds so they can put the money into a fund, and then they dole the money out to their church or their synagogue or their favorite charity over the next several years. So they bulk their deductions together, and they're going to do that. That has to be done before the end of the year. Okay. Fortunately, that's some good. Things can wait till next year, like your IRA contributions can wait till April of next year.
Oh, yeah, you got a little bit extra time for that. Okay, we know what happened when Donald Trump went into office last time, and it seemed like a lot of people were happy with their money then. We got hit hard with inflation under Joe Biden, going back to a Donald Trump. Do you think more people are optimistic in the future when it comes to managing their money?
Right after the elections, we saw the relief rally. Just knowing who was president at the end of the night was like a miracle for some folks because they thought it'd be a week or two before all the votes got counted. So we had a relief rally, but especially a relief rally because of the sweeping Republican win. That means that the tax cuts for corporations are going to happen. It means that the deregulation is probably going to happen. It means that a lot of things that are positive for corporate earnings were going to happen. And so we saw the stock market move up aggressively the first few weeks after the elections. Now, lately, we've seen it come back down some, and a lot of that's because the Fed came back and said, okay, all these things are going to happen, and people are spending money happily now, but that's inflationary in nature. And we just raised these interest rates trying to stop inflation, and now we're starting to back up because Trump is pouring lighter fluid on the inflationary fire with all this positive growth and tax cuts. And so we may not be lowering rates next year. The market hated that news because they said they won't lower as much as was anticipated, that they may not to lower the rates back down to where companies and individuals can borrow money more freely. They may pause a bit or only do two lowerings throughout the year instead of as many as they planned on before. And so that caused the market to give back a lot of its gains. But overall, people are rather optimistic about what it means to have some of these things that are pro-business. However, what it means to the stock market is variable because you're pricing in present value of future cash flows, and that can be real tricky. Everything from consumer sentiment to interest rates will play a part of it. But I think overall, corporations are very optimistic.
Awesome. All right. Good summary. By the way, again, if people wanted to find you online, Bill, where can they go?
Alicorninvestmentmanagement.com. Alicorn.
CPA money manager Bill Dendy. Thank you so much for joining us. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
God bless you. It's been a real pleasure.
Got one more segment of the Mark Cox Morning Show before we wrap things up on this Christmas Eve. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. I really think that is one of the best lyrics ever written in any song in the history of mankind. It's just so beautiful.
And we apologize to the people on YouTube, X, Rumble, and Facebook, because they can't hear anything.
We can't. Celine Dion would kick us off so quick if we played even a second of the song. Her people would have been all over us. I don't think we would have got sued, but they would have kicked us off every platform immediately.
Yeah. But she's
so,
doing
Carl,
better.
You're going to have to sing it in respect to it, so our listeners on the stream
just
don't miss
like
out.
Just like Celine sings it.
Yeah, please, if you could. The microphone is yours, if you'd like to.
No.
Oh, Carl, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Ryan Recker. Thanks for filling in on the Mark Cox Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'll be back after Christmas, too. So after today, let's clean the house. We got the in-laws coming in to visit, and we're going to have the Christmas meal tonight as opposed to Christmas Day. Kids open up, I think, one present each. Those lucky kids the night before. And some places do it differently. We do the one gift Christmas Eve and then the rest Christmas morning. But we try to find something that would be appropriate for the night before. And, you know, when I was a kid, we always did that. We did stockings the morning of. But for our kids, we do the stockings the night before. And then they go to sleep. And you hope they sleep through the night because they wake up and immediately want to open those presents even before breakfast is done. So I was talking to my friend from Australia. Apparently, the tradition there is you eat seafood on Christmas.
Sounds great.
And also, what the tradition is, you don't... this is something they fight over. Apparently, a lot of homes, they don't individually wrap presents. You get a big, giant red sack.
Yeah.
And then you pull the gift out of the sack and you hand it to the kid, as opposed to wrapping it. That's the tradition a lot of families do.
At my house, when I was a child, Santa didn't wrap. Santa just left them under the tree.
So you wanted a wrapping Santa like Run DMC, but instead you just had a bunch of toys in their boxes underneath
the
tree?
You knew who I it was. At the time, it was myself and my sister, and the Star Wars toys were for me, and the non-Star Wars toys were for Jane.
How great was it to see a bunch of Star Wars toys under
the
tree? I got
a Millennium Falcon at Christmas one year.
What a year.
Let's see, 78 or 79.
Did it come with a Chewie?
No action figures. Figures no sold figures. Separately.
Of course they would. Oh, well, hopefully you still have that same joy tomorrow when you wake up.
Oh, I thought
you
was going to say I still have that same Millennium Falcon, which you know I do.
Of course, you can never let something like that go. How mad would you be your parents get rid of it when you're an adult and it's like in their basement and they'll say, oh, Carl doesn't need this anymore. It would have been a tragedy to lose the Millennium Falcon from Christmas.
Better. And I want to play three more now.
I want to play this clip before we go because Joe Biden was speaking to a group of kids and much like Santa Claus, he was sitting in a chair and invited a child to sit on his lap. Two things I want you to listen to here. Number one, listen to his voice. He doesn't sound good. Number two, tell me he doesn't sound creepy. Would you let your kid sit on Joe Biden's lap? What a weird request that Joe Biden had for a stranger. Can we play clip 7?
Mr. Mayor, come here. Come on, get up here. Sit in my lap. The mayor and I have, I'm going to promote him. I'm going to make him a congressman.
All right.
And look, I want to thank all the staff here. It's special what you do. And Mom and I, Jill and I spent time in the same like you parents did with our children and other circumstances. But, you know, that old expression, there's life, there's hope.
Oh, boy, does he sound rough. He sounds like... exactly what we thought he was. We knew that he was being hidden for a reason. We knew that there was probably a very valid reason to keep him away from media, the press. You had journalists that interviewed him and say, oh, no, he's super sharp as a tack. And all lies, all lies. It was all displayed on that debate stage between him and Donald Trump. It became very apparent. This is pure panic mode for the Democratic Party. So much so, they forced Joe Biden out. They put in Kamala Harris. Kamala loses. They were just sunk because they tried to ride the lie as long as they could. And they thought, if we can only get a, it's like an old beat up car. If we can only get a couple more miles out of this thing, then we'll be fine. Well, the car broke down and you had the consequences. And rightfully so, they deserve it. They put himself into that. And I think the American people, no matter who he was up against, Donald Trump would have won because they were just tired of what this administration was putting out there. But can we just go back to the very simple request of Joe Biden requesting a child to sit on his lap, a child that's not related to him or known to him? What a weird, weird thing to do. All right. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I'm Ryan Recker. Hopefully you get to sleep in. Enjoy the coffee. We'll see you on Thursday.
Get more at 971talk.com.